Hello and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everybody. I'm here today with the wonderful Beatrice Allen. She's an author who writes about wealth consciousness for both young children and adults, especially young girls. And she's here today to talk about how this consciousness relates to love and lack of love and living in a scarcity paradigm. Welcome, Beatrice.
Oh, thank you so much, Heather. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, you're very welcome. So tell me then about love and lack of love and how it affects us.
Yes. So what first comes into mind is that in both my experience as what I've experienced myself and also in my experience with the women, especially we're talking about women, is that it's something that we're born into. So when we know in terms of psychology, in terms of how we learn to love, how we learn to relate, I think here your listeners might not be foreign to attachment theory. That helps us understand why we love as we do and why we relate as we do. We get to see that our mother is our first love. And it's not only when we're outside of her womb, it begins from the very day we're even thought of, we're even conceived in her body. And depending on the experience that she's carrying with her in her life, where she is while carrying us, while being pregnant, giving birth, and then how she is relating to us as we grew up, as children and becoming adults, that has such a powerful effect on how we experience love, how we were learned to be loved, how we were taught to be loved, and how we learned to love. And so that when you then have an experience that is opposite of this nurturing, this protective and this guiding love, this guiding maternal presence, we actually, in my experience, end up having and growing up with this scarcity paradigm, this scarcity way of thinking and seeing the world, because we grew up in a lack of love situation where love actually might have been even dangerous, where our mother, or those caregivers, those close to us, just didn't feel safe to us in some way. And so that was something that I started to see when I was stepping out of my own career, when I was meeting other women that were also stepping out in their especially entrepreneurial career, where you get to be faced with a lot of your own beliefs, right? And seeing that they were actually reliving that lack of love experience in their, not only in their lives, but they were seeing it so powerfully, because I think there's something that becomes very powerful when we deal with numbers and in business. And they were seeing that they were actually reliving that lack of love experience in their career, in their money situation as well. So that was how I started to see and put together. Like, it wasn't just an experience I was having. It was something that other women were also having. And when I started to go deep into understanding why this was, why, what all of us, we had in common, I started to see a term that psychologist Kelly McDaniel, her name is Kelly McDaniel, she's a clinical psychologist as far as I know, and she coined this term called mother hunger. And that was something I identified in myself. It was something that in conversation with these other women, that they also started to identify for themselves. They started to see, oh, they actually had this experience of their mother not actually being nurturing in some situations, not as in all the time. There is, but maybe as in most of the time, or their mother not in some way being able to protect them. Again, for whatever reason, it's not a invitation to have any to cultivate blame or any complaint of our mothers. Is more, it was truly in an inquiry of understanding what is the root cause, like what is the root to why I'm hungering money. And we sort of went on the journey and found out that a lot of it had to do with the way we're actually hungering love from our mothers still as adults, right? So the process of, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I think you're right that there is such a deep hunger for the sort of love you first described that creates safety and security. And from that place, you have expectations that there will be safety and security and being met and welcomed, being held lovingly accountable, being encouraged from that secure base. But if you don't have that, then you're always on shaky ground and you will not expect to have money because you didn't expect to have love. Money will come and not feel safe, or you'll somehow feel you're not worth giving to, so you're probably not pursue a good education or a good career or find your place or express yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Like these, in many ways, it was, the situations were very similar. It was really women that they would find themselves exactly in situations where they wouldn't ask for money, where they wouldn't ask for what they wanted, or where they would give off of themselves way more than, you know, that would ultimately cause exhaustion, and just being in ways that were not self sort of uplifting, but the opposite, but it, in so subtle ways that it was really, really challenging to put a finger on the financial codependence that was happening, the sort of different kinds of financial behavior with money. And even not just behavior, but thinking in such a subtle way where the body, in a way that was, because these women, they've done a lot of work on their minds, done a lot of conscious money work and had money books. And there was, like, again, educated themselves within what is money and how can I receive more of it. And still there was this body based experience of understanding why is my body somehow reacting to money in a way that's that just is not in alignment with how I've come to learn to think about money. Because they could think, you know, of money is good, and I've gone through all the mental work, but on a very subtle somatic body based level, there is this lineage, this heritage of money that's been ingrained in a cellular level in a way.
Yeah, the trauma body. Yes, because the body holds all sorts of emotions. And I see parallels, you know, when I think about working with people who are looking for love, for a true love, romantic relationship. And they're coming with similar mindset and body experience, which is not expecting to find a partner any more than they would expect to receive money. And it's that core tension that makes people not see opportunities. You know, I've been working with somebody who's absolutely lovely, but she walks with her eyes down and bristly out of a sort of bodily defense from years and years of criticism by her mother and sort of contempt for feelings and needs. So she's learned that that's a very tense thing to expect anything from anybody else. So she, you know, I'm going to be independent. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not going to be open to love because it's so dangerous. If what love means is criticism and contempt, no, thank you. Mm. And that's in her body.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, that's powerful in that sense that in order for that to release, that's body-based healing. At least that's in my experience, and also that's why that some of the things that at least I'm excited as I write, because sharing these practices, sharing how do you move through that. There is what I experienced as there is when you sit, which is powerful work too. Of course, when you sit one-on-one in that work is that needs to be done. And then there is this work that you can do when you read about something, right? And you read all that person, just as you told that experience with this wonderful woman you're working with, right? Just listening to that experience can help someone recognize, oh, is that something that's alive within me too? And if so, how can I be released from it? And you gave the sort of, you gave part of the answer of just realizing and bringing awareness to where does that come from? That comes from that criticism, back from that mother. And when you can sort of have that awareness of seeing, okay, well, yeah, I mean, you would probably be the one to go through how to move through that, right? But just listening to you telling about that brings about a small healing in my awareness, which is what I enjoy with by writing, is to be able to bring those experiences to people that didn't maybe think that that was a correlation, but simply by writing by reading the experience of somebody else, you can have and receive that little tiny healing because of your awareness shifts. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a real gift, because identifying with you and your writing, whatever you're writing about, what the characters you're writing about, or if it's first person sometimes, I think people really can then relate and reflect and see it in themselves. And that's a lovely way of bringing things into awareness. Because if they're not aware and they're not in awareness, they can't be dealt with. They're just embodied.
Yeah, absolutely. And what really came from being in conversation with some of these women was just the awareness. Just the awareness was enough for them to shift into healing. It was tremendous healing relationship with their mother that was, you know, stuck in dysfunction, thought patterns and feelings, in also the other way around of healing relationship to children and their own daughters, and just seeing that awareness of just knowing the root and knowing sometimes where to look. And of course, for some, now I know I mentioned this concept of mother hunger, and for some that can be something that they need, of course, support to go through, one-on-one support, because just the awareness of, oh, there was something that that was in my experience with my mother as I grew up that wasn't really serving me, just that processing can be quite challenging, because we've also learned to be in some ways about our mothers, and to we've been domesticated and programmed to like to put our mothers specifically to protect our mothers, to always have them in a certain light sometimes. Mm-hmm. At least I come from a background where that is that was the case. And so just unfolding that mother theme and being able to cultivate a safe space, not only to speak but also to think of my the real experience. Just wanted to hold space that for some that can be necessary to do that in a therapeutic setting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really important. There's so much here, because I think, yeah, there's a real place to therapy and coaching and reading and talking with friends and colleagues that's really invaluable in this growth. I also think we need to look at the bigger context. And I'm glad you're talking about not blaming and shaming our mothers. If they have been abusive and violent or whatever, then yes, they know that they shouldn't have done that. Hopefully, they're mature enough to be able to make amends, apologize and make amends. If they're not, you probably need to create some distance. But regardless, there's the sort of historical context. Like in the UK, we've got a lot about class and culture, aside from family. You know, there's the north, the south, the working class, the middle class, the upper class, the upper class, and all of that, which each of them bring their values and ways of being and a sort of sense of what's allowed and what isn't. And there's the heritage of that. I come from a line of military people, so there's a lot of heavy discipline and self-denial, you know, bat on through no matter what's happening, and feelings don't really matter. And I feel, you know, my mother's long gone now, but I feel like that's how she was brought up. So she didn't really know how to be different with me. I think she probably shifted an awful lot from her childhood to be with me. But to be with me in the age that I came alive, she was out of experience. She was out of education. We've got much more education now. You know, we're talking the 50s and 60s. So now there's so much more to be read about child development and what children need. So much more to be watched on TV even, as well as on the net. So there's a richer vein to pull upon, you know, the vein of gold of all of that knowledge is so powerful. But our mothers often didn't have that. And we're often, you know, making do in very difficult situations. It could be, you know, they were holding down three jobs just to keep the roof over their head. But we would experience that as emotionally negligent because they were never there. It's that sort of thing that can really colour things. I made a huge hyperbolic point there. I don't know if it's relatable to, if there's something you can respond to in all of that.
Well, what I heard through your what you were telling was also that legacy of, you know, watching how our mothers in their own way created their wealth, created what they could provide for us, right? And so many of us have watched our mothers, as you say, hold down three jobs or really go out of their way in whatever way they could and thought they should and all of that. And as you say, now we have this golden wealth source of knowledge of what is healthy, what creates healthy relationships, what we need as humanity, as children, as we grow up, as someone who loves to write fiction, I see it as part of my work to infuse that into the mainstream literature, that wealth of golden knowledge that we can now see, because what the perspective that I write from is very similar to my own perspective, right? So and I grew up as well with a mother who was really struggling. And so just putting into literature that we as women can see that we have our heritage, we have that lineage, and we are also now in a golden age where we can change, and we don't just change with the wind. We change, even, you know, that can be a great thing. but we're also backing it with science, right? We're allowing the wind to blow us where we need to be, and then we back our movement with science. And so, yeah, just putting that into literature, putting that into future generations, for other women to put it, to write out characters who choose a different legacy, who choose to create a legacy where wealth isn't created by hard work. We both share a wonderful person that speaks about that. Where wealth can be something that can be created with ease, and also where love can be expressed in other ways, and just infusing what we know now into literature. Because I know, or at least I asked my own higher guidance, how to increase my impact, how I could help in another way, in a bigger way, with the knowledge that I had, with the evidence and the results that women were coming back to me with. And that was really write books, because that's a way for this awareness, for this knowledge that we know, to come into mainstream awareness, because it's not all of us who sit and geek out those scientific papers, even though I like to do it, right? Mm-hmm. it's just not for everyone. and I happen to be gifted as a child. My peers would always say, you know, you're fun with words and all these things. So it's just being able to translate that science into something that is readable for anyone, and especially for any woman, for any mother on this journey. That's where my fire is burning. I'm not sure if that was the right element, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. and so, yeah, what I heard from you saying that is just it inspires me so much, because it confirms that there's so many of us that have that experience and story of how our mothers did, and now we know better in a way to collectively give that, you know, share that story. Is at least I'm collecting those stories and that, just as you shared, because it just deepens and thickens the reality, I think, in yeah, the real image of what it means to be a woman and a mother and a daughter at the same time.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I think what you're touching on as well, in terms of telling stories, you know, our mothers tell us stories about what love is implicitly. They tell us about what world is like, what money is like, what we can expect. And we can tell ourselves those same stories if we remain unaware and unevolved. We don't examine those stories. We can tell ourselves stories about who we are and what we're worth, what we are entitled to or not. Entitled has got a double-edged word, but I think there's some healthy entitlement, like healthy narcissism, you know, healthy self-expression doesn't always have to be at somebody else's expense. We can tell the stories differently. And I think that's what you're doing. You're telling the stories which evolve from those primitive stories, the basic stories we learned at our mother's knee about who we are and each other and the world. And we're evolving them way beyond what those limiting beliefs will make possible for us. And once we get out of those limiting stories and we get into, oh, it could be like this or it could be like that, which you are giving examples of, it opens wide the possibility for who we can be in the world, who we can be for ourselves, what we can have for ourselves, what we can experience, who we can love, what money we can possess to have, what freedom we want.
Yes, oh, that felt good. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So where can people find you? Can you give us the website or where your books can be found and all of that?
Well, right now I am to be found on social media. So I am found on Instagram, where I am on the tag I am Beatrice Allen, and on LinkedIn as well, I'm Beatrice Allen, and on Facebook, I'm Beatrice Allen as well. And that's about that. Yeah,
that's where they can find you and hear your stories evolving.
Yes, and follow along on the journey as books are published and characters are evolved and all of that. Yes.
Oh, this is lovely. So they can come on your journey with you as the stories happen.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Yes.
What a joy. Yeah, what a gift.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather.
You're very welcome. It's been lovely to have you here. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.